for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, May the 25th, 1997. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook of Tulsa, Oklahoma, is the teacher of the morning.
All right. Let's stand together. Praise the Lord. I'm very glad you're here this morning.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad Jesus is here.
Amen.
Praise God. Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. Truly, as we sang this morning, this is the day that you've made.
Yes.
Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the joy of the Lord. It's our strength. And, Lord, it'll carry us throughout this day. And, Lord, we ask you to bless this teaching this morning. God, put your blessing upon it. Put your blessing upon your people to receive it, we pray. Bless Lake Hamilton, Lord, and those that have come. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I mean, enjoyed the word last night.
Amen.
Let's give the Lord a good hand. Wasn't that good? Praise God. I've never heard Norman teach anything bad. Hallelujah. It's always been good. It's always been good. I love to hear him teach. He's a great teacher in the Lord, and the Lord's given him that ability to minister effectively. And I was really blessed by that word last night. Praise God. I mean, let's go to Psalms. Let me give you a couple of scriptures to start off. Go to Psalms 79, and I'm going to share on the beast today. How many know there's a beast? How many have to battle the beast? Amen. Well, I believe we all do, don't we? Let's look at Psalm 79. I want to look at verse... or is it 73? Wait a minute, maybe 73 I want. 73, Psalm 73. Bill's probably got it marked. Psalm 73. Let me enjoy Brother Bill's ministry here, too. Let's give the Lord a good hand. Amen. Brother Coffey and Peggy and Sister Mildred, they, you know, the worship's been great this time, hasn't it? In Psalm 73, look at verse 22. David says here, "So foolish was I, and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee." Now notice, I was as a beast before thee. But don't stop there. Nevertheless, I'm glad nevertheless is in the Bible. "I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me up by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory." Hallelujah. How many know when Jesus shall appear, we shall appear with him in glory? Isn't that right? Now look in Leviticus 26. Now, how many believe there's a beast in all of us that we're dealing with? How many believe your flesh is a beast? All right, turn to Leviticus 26. Now here's another beast also that we have to deal with. 26th of Leviticus. And he's talking about idols and graven images here. That we're not to set them up in our land. That was Israel. But how many know this land here?
Yes.
Or bow down to them. God said in verse 2, we're to reverence his sanctuary. How many know that's the church? How many, you're the sanctuary today. You believe that?
Amen.
God says to walk in the statutes and commandments in verse 3. And then he says in verse 5, you'll eat your bread to the full. Then verse 6, he said, I will give peace in the land. How many want peace in your land?
Amen.
That's part of the kingdom, isn't it? And you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. You're not going to be fearful. You're going to have rest in God. And none shall make you afraid. And I will, notice, I will rid evil beasts. What kind of beasts are they, brethren?
Evil.
They're evil. Evil beasts out of the land, out of your land. Neither shall the sword go through your land. That's war. And then he said, you'll chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you. How many know that's a switch? They're not chasing us, we're chasing them. But he said, I'll rid evil beasts out of the land. Now, so there is the beast that's in us. And then there's beastial powers or demonic powers that we wrestle against. Isn't that right? That God is ridding us of out of our land as we obey him. Praise God. Now, let me know that in the scriptures, there was a falling away in the heavenlies. How many know Satan fell? How many believe the devil fell? Because of iniquity and because of pride and so forth. And now, rebellion, that's right, Bill. And so, there was that rebellion in the heavenlies, in the heavenly temple. Now, when he fell, I mean, know that he opposed God, and then he exalts himself above God. Remember, he said, I'll exalt myself above his throne and so forth in Isaiah 14. So there's an opposition, there's an exalting, and with that came also an apostasy or falling away. Other angels fell with him. And Brother Jack mentions the other night, there are angels that's bound tonight, today, in chains of darkness, isn't there? Yes. Then there's fallen angels that are also loose. How many know Daniel had to deal with some of those principalities and powers in his day? Isn't that right? Then we come to the natural temple, the temple of Solomon. Manasseh was king, and he brought a carved idol into the temple that opposed God, that was exalting itself to be God in the temple. And the Bible said he seduced God's people, and there was a falling away or an apostasy in that day. Now let's bring it up to where we live. How many know we're the spiritual temple today?
Yes.
How many believe that?
Yes.
You believe you're the temple of God?
Yes.
All right. Praise God. Go to 2 Thessalonians 2, and let's look at the scripture here together. There's a lot here. I would never cover everything that's here, but I just want to touch a few things. 2 Thessalonians and chapter 2. Praise the Lord. Chapter 2. Now, Paul said, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the parousia of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. How many believe we're gathering even today unto him?
Amen.
Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Amen? That you be not soon shaken in mind. And when you get shook up, where do you get shook? Come on. Right in your mind. Amen? How many know we need the mind of Christ today? All right, or be troubled, neither by a spirit or by a word or letter. That spirit, of course, is not the Holy Spirit. And that word there can be preaching and teaching also that troubles us that's not of God. Come on now, amen?
Yeah.
Or letter, that which is written, actually in the name of Paul, they were writing in Paul's name saying the day of the Lord had taken place, and he was saying, don't believe that. So how many ever get things through the mail you don't like? Come on. Asking for big offerings and whatever else. He said, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man, what? Deceive you. How? By any means. What means? By spirit, by word, and by letter. For that day, the day of the Lord, shall not come except there come. Now notice, it cannot come. The day of the Lord cannot come, will not come, until there is a falling away first. How many know first is not second? Until there is a falling away or an apostasy first. And notice what else? That man of sin be revealed as the son of perdition. How many believe God's raising up a man?
Yes.
A corporate man.
Yes.
How many believe God has a corporate son?
Yes.
Revelation 21:7 says that. There's also a corporate man and a corporate son on the other slate. Amen?
Right.
Hallelujah. And he says here, now notice. He said, and that man of sin be revealed, a revelation of this son of perdition. Somebody said, well, I don't want to hear about Antichrist, I want to hear about Christ. Well, how many know Antichrist is being revealed before Christ? Amen? He's coming. The Antichrist spirit is coming on the scene. How many know in the beginning there was Cain, right? And then who else? Come on. Abel. And then you come right on down. You see, there was Eli. And then there was Saul. There was a lot of negatives. I could go talk the negatives and come into the positive. All the way through scriptures. There was Esau. There was Jacob. There's the harlot church, and then there's the true church. But you see, the Antichrist always comes forth to fruition first. How many know when God made man in the beginning, he made the beast first? Amen? And then he made man. Now, Christ is being revealed in us. Isn't that right? How many believe that?
Yes.
But the man of sin is also coming forth, and you'll see him come forth. He's going to come to fruition. But also, God's people is going to come to their fullness as well. But anyway, look here now. In verse 4, what's he doing, brethren? Opposing, exalting himself above all that is called what? God, or that is worship, so that he is God sitting. Where is he sitting? The temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This thing is in the temple of God. Now, this is not a Middle East temple. I don't think there'll be a Middle East temple myself. Hallelujah. How many know we are the temple of God? I ain't looking for no temple in the Middle East anyway. If they build it, it'd be destroyed anyway. I mean, no, we're the temple of God today, the real temple of God. And this thing is sitting in the temple of God. It's in my temple, it's in your temple, and we've got to deal with it. Isn't that right? And notice he's showing himself that he is God. So here's what I'm saying. In this end time, there's opposition to God. There's an exalting against God. There is an apostasy that's taking place. Now, look in Romans 8. Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 6. It says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Because the carnal mind is something. It's enmity. That word enmity means it opposes God. It's hostile to God. It actually hates God. How many know your carnal mind don't love God? Amen. That old beast mind doesn't love God, does it? No. That's why our minds have to be changed by the power of God. Isn't that right? By the Holy Spirit. All right. Now notice the next part. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it is not subject, notice, to the law of God. How many know what? That's rebellion. Neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot, come on, please God. So there's something in us called a carnal mind that opposes God. Now turn to 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10. And look at verse 4. I know you know these scriptures, but let's look at them. Verse 3. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." But how many know there's a lot of warring in the flesh today? Next verse. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to" what? "The pulling down of strongholds." Where are the strongholds at? It's in us, isn't it? In our thinking. "Casting down," come on, "imaginations, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God." How many know that's pride? "And bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ." Praise God. So there's something that's opposing Christ. There's something that wants to exalt itself above the knowledge of God. Isn't that right? And it's happening in the church, isn't it? Not just in the world. How many know it's in us? It's in the church if we allow it to happen. Isn't that right? We need to know our authority. We need to know who we are in Christ. But how many know we need to also deal with pride? Amen? And then, of course, that opposition, that exalting, and that falling away is and will take place in the church of Jesus Christ. Now, what does Antichrist mean? Antichrist means against and in place of. Against and in place of. And how many know we need the Spirit of God to combat the spirit of Antichrist? We need the anointing. How many know that Antichrist is against Christ? It's anti-Christ. It's against the anointing, the head and the body. Amen? Praise God. That spirit is against the head. He's against the body. Now, it means against and in place of. Judas worked against Jesus, didn't he? He sold him out. He sold out, rather, for so many pieces of silver. And then there was a replacement of Jesus by Barabbas. Remember what they said? "Crucify Jesus, give us Barabbas." And in the church today, there is a spirit that's against Christ. Amen? And it wants to replace Christ with something else. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. There is the spirit of Antichrist that's in the church. There is many Antichrists, even among us. Can you hear what I said? It might shock you who might be Antichrist next to you in your church. Amen? Hallelujah. And then there is the Antichrist. Now, how many believe that Jesus is the head of the church? And how many know that he has a kingdom, he has a body God's putting together by the Holy Spirit? Do you believe that? On the other side of the coin, we know there's a kingdom, there's a body that an unholy spirit is putting together. Isn't that right? Now, let me show you this. Look in Revelation 16 to show you that the Antichrist system has a kingdom. Hallelujah. And so when you deal with Antichrist, you're dealing with a kingdom. You're dealing with a spirit. You're dealing even with a person at the head of it. In Revelation 16, though, look in verse 10. Now, this is when the wrath of God, the vials are poured out upon the bestial system. It says, "And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain." Notice his kingdom. So there's a kingdom, isn't there? And it was full of darkness. Well, how many know that kingdom is darkness? Total darkness. Amen? And yet God's wrath is going to be poured out upon that throne or seat of the beast. Now, where does it say in Thessalonians he was sitting? He was sitting where? In the temple. Now, turn to Revelation 2, 13. How many know behind the man of sin is Satan? Isn't that right? Revelation 2:13, look at this. "I know thy works, where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is," where his throne is. "And thou holdest fast my name, And thou hast not denied my faith, even in those days when Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. Satan's seat, his throne, was wrought among this church. Now turn to Revelation 13. Revelation 13. Hallelujah. And you'll notice in verse 2, it said, the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, his feet like a bear, his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And then it says, the dragon gave him, notice the dragon, that's Satan, gave him, the beast, his power and his what? His seat or his throne and great authority. Okay? And yet we see God's judgment coming upon that seat, coming upon that throne. Amen. Upon that kingdom. Now I want us to go over to Acts chapter 17. Acts 17. Praise God. Acts 17, 29. Some of you may have never read this verse, but look at Acts 17, 29. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think, and how many know it's our thinking that gets us in trouble? We ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone. Then he said these words, graven by art and man's device. How many see that? That word graven is the word for mark, the mark of the beast. Same word, graven. And that word is karagma. And that word graven means to scratch, or it means an etching, or to stamp, or to put a mark, an impress, or something that's carved. How many know when a sculptor or an artist does a work or paints a picture, how many know it's first in his mind? Isn't that right? He sees it, and then he sees it with his mind, and then his hand begins to fulfill that vision. Isn't that right? Huh? How many know the mark of the beast is in the forehead and in the hand? Isn't that right? And this word graven is the word for mark. Now, he said graven by art. Let me see that word art. That word art, the word is techne in the Greek. It means techna. That's where we get the word technical, technology, technician, technique, and so forth. But it's a word that means handiwork. Handiwork is something you use your hand with. Handiwork or handcraft or occupation. That's mentioned in Acts 18:3, that word occupation. It's also the word craft. That's Revelation 18:22. It means a trade or skill, but it's the work of the hands. And that's what we're dealing with. Now, he said something else in this verse. Look at this. Graven by art, and what else? Come on. And man's device. And that word man's device means inner thoughts, inner reasonings, inner thinking. So it has to do with our mental thinking, doesn't it? Amen. So you have the hand, you have the occupation, the craft, the trade, the skill, and you have the inner thoughts or the reasons. You have the mark of the beast. Amen. In that scripture. Can you understand that? Praise God. Now, we know that God's also doing something as well. Amen. But if we have the beast mind, which I pray we're getting rid of it. Amen. But a beast mind, how many, if you've got beastly thinking, you'll do beastly works or beastly behavior. Isn't that right? But if you have Christ's mind, come on, you do the works of Christ. Isn't that right? And how many know we're all being changed? You believe that? All right, go to Hebrews now. I'm going to show you the mark is also a spiritual mark more than natural. Now, I don't rule out the natural. How many know the Bible talks about the mark? And there can be a lot of things working out in the natural. How many of you can't take away the natural interpretation if it's there? Isn't that right? But also, it's spiritually. Now, look in Hebrews. Look in Hebrews. I'm going to show you something here. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Who being the brightness, this is speaking of Jesus, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image. Let's all say that. The express image. Notice, of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Praise God. Notice the word express image. And that is the perfect, he was the perfect imprint, the very image of God, Jesus was. And this word express image, you would spell it, if you spell it in the, like in the English, you'd spell it this way, C-H-A-R-A-K-T-E-R. What does that sound like? Character. That's what you'd spell it. So there, Jesus was the very character, the very nature, he was the very image and the very likeness of God the Father. How many believe that? Amen. And how many believe he's putting that nature and that character and that image and likeness in us as we submit to him? Do we believe that? Okay. He was actually the exact copy or representation of the Father, actually. Praise God. The perfect imprint, the exact reproduction of his essence, the expression of his substance. Hallelujah. Now, what I found out was, if there's a nature and a character and image and likeness being formed in us, then how many know there's also a counterfeit to it? Is that right? Now, before I give you that, look over in Revelation 15. Revelation 15. Look at verse 2. Somebody's going to overcome the beast. Sister Coffee brought this out the other day. These are overcomers, I believe. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with what? Come on. How many has been through some fire lately? Amen? And them that have gotten what? The victory. These are overcomers. That word victory means overcomer. Notice, they got the victory over the beast, over his image, over the mark, and over what? The number of what? What does the name mean? It means the nature. Over the nature of the beast. Amen? The name means nature. So here's a people that overcome the image, the mark, the beast, the number of his nature, standing on the sea of glass, having what? The harps of God. They'd come over that thing. Now, how many know to come over that beast, you've got to have the mind of Christ? Amen? Hallelujah. So if Jesus is the character in us, his character is being formed in us, his nature's image and likeness is being formed in us, then also there is the counterfeit to that, praise God, which means there's also a character and a nature and an image and a likeness of also the beast, amen, that people are coming into. Can you understand that? Huh? Now, here's what I want to show you. The word mark, the word karagma that I gave you, and the word express image, the word here for Jesus, the express image of the Father, comes from the same root word. And the word is C-H-A-R-A-X. Hallelujah. So if I see Jesus as the very character of God, the nature of God, the image and likeness of God, then also from that same root word, there's also another image, another character, another likeness. Amen. That's counterfeit. Amen. And that's more than the physical. That's in the spirit realm. Can you hear that? Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, now, turn to Luke 13. Luke 13. Luke 13. I want to show you something here. Verse 10. And as he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, in one of the churches, behold, there was a woman which had something. A spirit of infirmity. Now, notice, how many believe it's a demon? You know, most spine specialists or back specialists would not say it was a demon. They'd have some kind of medical term. But Jesus saw this demon hanging right onto her back. And how long did she have it? I mean, no, that's triple sixes, 666. 18 years. And was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw it, he called to her and said to her, "Woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity." And he laid hands on her, and of course, immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Well, how many know people get upset when people get healed? Isn't that right? Now, if you study this story, now listen to me, in the synagogue, right in the temple, the natural synagogue, there were three things. You have a bound woman. She's a picture of the church. And how many believe the church is bound today? I'm telling you, the church of Jesus Christ is bound, but how many know God's going to loose her? Hallelujah. There's a bound woman in the temple. Number two, there's a blind ruler in that temple. He was opposing what God was doing. Isn't that right? And number three, there was also a blessed deliverer there. His name is Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And they were all three in the synagogue, in the temple. How many know in this temple there's also, come on, we're part of that bound woman, aren't we? We're being liberated. Isn't that right? Come on. And there's a blind ruler called the carnal mind in all of us. But how many know the blessed deliverer lives within us to set us free? Do you believe that? You can see this in the Old Testament. How many know there was Eli? He was a blind ruler, wasn't he? Huh? Hannah wanted a child. She's a picture of the church. She was barren, and she gave birth to a man child. Hallelujah. Samuel. So you see in the synagogue, there was Hannah, The bound woman. There was the blind ruler Eli. But thank God she brought forth a blessed deliverer. His name was Samuel. Amen? Hallelujah. How many know Samuel is a picture of the Lord? You studied Samuel's life. In this end time, how many know that God is truly raising up his church? And I believe that he's also dealing with that blind ruler. Amen? Because he's raising up an overcomer. Hallelujah. That's going to bring deliverance to humanity. Do you believe that? Amen. Now, he did two things here. Jesus did two things here. On the Sabbath, he rebuked the blind ruler and he healed the bound woman. Hallelujah. Amen. How many know that what we see there in that picture on the Sabbath is a picture of the thousand-year Sabbath coming up? What you see in the natural is a type of what's going to happen. How many know we've only tasted the powers of the world of the age to come? But we just tasted. How many know there's a whole big candy bar coming? Amen? Come on now. Amen? Praise God. Now look over back in 2 Thessalonians with me. Hallelujah. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, look again in verse 4. Let's see where this man of sin is. Just a coffee hit on till the day. 2 Thessalonians 2, 4. Who opposeth and exalts himself above all that's called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth where? Where is he sitting now? He's sitting in the temple of what? Of God. Are we the temple of God? All right. He's sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. I want you to notice that. I mean, there's some people want to be a God. There's something in us that wants to be a God. Amen? Called the old nature. How many believe that? Sure. He's opposed and exalting, but yet he's sitting in the temple of God. That's among the church. Now, look in 1 John 2. Let's see this, some more scriptures on this. 1 John 2. 1 John 2. In the back there, the little epistle of John. Hallelujah. Look in verse 16, 17, somewhere through there. Okay, look in verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard, the Antichrist shall come. Even now there are, what? Many Antichrist. Well, if there were many in John's day, how many knows a whole lot more today? Come on now. Whereby we know that it's the last time. He said it's the last time. Well, how many know we're in the last times? They went out from us. They went where? Out from who? Who's us? The church. Out from the church. They went out from us. But they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. Hallelujah. I mean, that'll open your eyes on some things, won't it? But they went out that they might be manifest that they were not all of us. Now, turn over to John 17. Hallelujah. John 17. Praise God. Look in verse 12. Jesus said this, while I was with them, that's the disciples, in the world, I kept them, Father, in your name or in your nature. Hallelujah. Those that thou gavest me, I've kept. None of them is lost, but who? The son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Who was that? Who is that? Judas. But where was Judas? Wasn't he also among the 12? Didn't Jesus call him just like he did the others? Certainly. Now look in John 6 or 7. Turn back to 7. Hallelujah. John, maybe it's 6. Let's see here. 670 of John. But listen to what Jesus said also. John 670. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12? He was chosen just like the others. And one of you is a devil. Now go to John 13. Go to John 13. We know this is when Judas is being revealed. And how many know that Jesus never put Judas down? Amen? He was never impartial to Judas. He treated him just like all the others, but yet he knew what was going to happen. Isn't that right? And Jesus had said, one of you are going to betray me. And then in verse 26, Jesus said, it is whom I give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Satan entered into him. All right? Then said Jesus to him, that thou doest, do quickly. And then if you'll come on down with me in the scriptures here, you'll see that when he goes out, when he left them, the Bible said it was night. Well, how many know anything and everything of the beast is darkness again? Amen? Hallelujah. And how many know we shouldn't have anything to do with the beast or darkness? Come on to that kingdom. Isn't that right? Now go over to I showed you that one in Revelation 2:13 where the devil is among the church. Now go to Nehemiah 13. Nehemiah 13. Okay, verse 4. Here we're talking about the priest here. Having the oversight of the chamber, the house of our God was allied to Tobiah. Tobiah is a picture of the carnal mind. He's a wicked man here. This man opposed God and the people of God. And yet the priest is allied with him. Now look at verse 5. And notice, the priest did something. He prepared for him a great chamber where aforetime they laid the meat offerings, the frankincense, the vessels, and notice, the tithe of the corn. Anything eating up your tithe in your church. The new wine, the oil, which was commanded to be given to the Levites and the singers and porters and offerings of the priests. And then if you come down to verse 7, and I came to Jerusalem, Nehemiah said, and understand the evil that this priest did for Tobiah in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of God. Notice, right in the house of God. And it grieved me sore, therefore, I cast forth all the household stuff out of Tobiah, out of the chamber. He cleansed the temple, didn't he? How many believe there's some stuff in us that's got to be cast out? Huh? Amen. It's in the temple. And so Nehemiah dealt with that. Praise God. He dealt with that whole situation. And you can read the rest of it. So right in the house of God, right in the temple of God, the enemy is working and has been working. Amen? Now he's called what? The man of sin, the son of perdition. Now Jesus said in Matthew 24, he was called the abomination of what? Desolation. Well, is abomination sin? Sure. Is desolation perdition? Sure. Jesus said exactly what Paul said, or Paul said what Jesus said. Amen? Amen. So, Jesus said one standing in the holy place, Paul said one sitting. Well, when you're standing, you know, it's like he's in charge. When you're sitting down, you're comfortable, you've taken over. Well, how many know it's time to kick the guy out? Come on, it's time to kick that thing out of us. Amen? That's living around us and in us and so forth. Now, I want to show you something here. This falling away. Go back to Thessalonians. Hallelujah. 2 Thessalonians 2. Now, he said here in the scripture that there, in verse 3, 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, that the day of the Lord could not come except to come a falling away first, and then a man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, in this falling away, how many believe that some people back up on God? When people get hit or things happen, many times they stop or they turn back. But Jesus said, if any man puts his hand to the plow and looks back, he's not fit for the kingdom of God. How many believe that? And I see people turning from the high calling of God. They know exactly what God wants. What does the word falling away mean? It means defection from the truth. To turn from the truth. It means the rebellion, the revolt, and so forth. But it means turning from the truth. And there are people that know what to do that will not do it because they're listening to another voice. Are you hearing me? And so this falling away, I believe, is also turning from the high calling, turning from your inheritance that God has for you, turning away from sonship, amen, and the overcoming, the government of God. We could go on and on with this. But there are people actually know what God wants and will not do it because of rebellion. And how many know that has to be dealt with? Somebody say amen. Defecting from the truth. Praise God. How can you defect from something that you knew nothing about? You can't. Amen? There's those who go AWOL. How many know that Demas went AWOL? Let me show you this. Look in 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4. I usually give seven things here when I teach this on Demas. 2 Timothy 4:10. Demas, Paul said, hath forsaken me. Well, I wonder how many of the Lord is seeing today that's forsaking him, that's turning back, that will not go on, that will not move on in the things of God. For Demas hath forsaken me, having what? Loved this present world. Amen? Don't back up on God. Don't turn back. Amen? Hallelujah. Now I'm going to show you some scriptures. how that people do this. Now, this word in Thessalonians is the son of perdition. That word perdition means ruin or loss. It means damnable. It means damnation. It means destruction. It means to perish or to die. It means pernicious waste, or the word waste is what the word means. Now, I want to show you that it can happen. Now, look in Hebrews 10. How many believe that none of us haven't made yet? Amen? How many know there's a pressing into God every day, isn't there? Hebrews 10, 38. Now, notice the scripture. Now, these people have come under great persecution. They've lost. They've become a gazing stock. They've lost a lot of their spoils and things. But he says here in verse 38, Paul did, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man, what?
Draw back.
Can we draw back?
Yes.
Do people draw back?
Yes.
All right. If any man draw back, my soul, God says, will have no pleasure in him. Next verse. Paul said, but we're not of them who draw back into perdition or destruction. That's the beast system. But of them that believe to the saving of the soul. How many know there's a multitude of people been saved in their spirit? Huh? But how many know we can still have the same old carnal, beastly mind? It's got to be changed. And that's where God's working today, isn't it? In your soul and my soul. Amen? How many know without the mind of Christ, we will not go on with God? Can you hear what I'm saying? How many know there are people who have locked souls? I see that with the 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. The foolish did not take the extra supply of oil with them. Amen? Which means, you know what the lamp is? It's your spirit. And the vessel is your soul. And they had been saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, but that's as far as the 5 foolish had gone. And they thought they could make it to midnight without having that extra supply in the soul. How many know Christ must overshadow our mind, our will, our emotions, our desires? And we must be there at midnight. Can you say amen? How many believe midnight or tribulation is coming upon the earth? Amen? But they had locked souls, which means they did not obey God. And how many know we don't obey God? We're in rebellion. Amen? And disobedience. Okay. Now, look in 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6, verse 9. 1 Timothy 6, 9. Let's go back to verse 6. Godliness with contentment is great gain. But we brought nothing into this world. It's certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. I mean, thank God for raiment and food today. But they that will be rich, now notice, they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in what? Destruction and perdition. I want you to notice that word perdition is the word for the beast. Those who covet money will end up in the beast system, even though they've known God. Did you hear me? There's nothing wrong with money. But the love of money, the spirit of covetousness, that root, which is the root of all evil, will cause man to end up in destruction and in perdition. How many know that Judas loved money? He's a picture of the man of sin. And how many know the beast system loves money? Amen? Not getting too many amens. I think it's hitting somebody here today. Amen. I'm not against you having money. How many know we all need it? But there is a spirit of covetousness and greed and lust. If we try to get things out of people the wrong way, how many know God will deal with us?
Yes.
Amen. We cannot do that. When I go forth in ministry, I don't go out asking people, I'll come for so much money. I'm sure these other brothers don't do that either. We go in faith. Amen. How many know God supplies every need?
Amen.
If God calls us, God sends us, God will supply. Amen. But we don't have to covet and be lustful and greedy. In fact, we need to repent of it, all of us, when we do that. We don't have to be in the ministry to do that. How many know we have to fight it every day wherever we are? Isn't that right? Look in 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3. Hallelujah. 2 Peter 3. It takes money to live. It takes money to go for all of us. And God will supply every need. I believe that. Praise God. But He doesn't want us to covet. 2 Peter 3, verse 16. It says this. And also in all his epistles, here Peter says, talking about Paul, speaking in them of things in which some things are hard to be understood. Which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, or literally twist. Notice that. They twist. As to do also the other scriptures unto what? Their own
destruction.
And that's that same word, perdition. It takes them right into the beast to twist and turn the scriptures, amen, unto their own destruction. Now, verse 17. Now, watch what Peter said. Ye therefore, he's talking to the church now, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Praise God. And I could show you some other scriptures on that, but I won't. Now, I want to show you some overcoming scriptures. Turn to Revelation 20. How many want to overcome? Praise God. I do too. I want to overcome. Revelation 20. Now, look at verse 4. He said, I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, which had not... Now, here's the overcoming. Which had not worshipped. I mean, when people worship, they do it from the heart. Which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. These overcomers, right here, I believe they're overcomers. They refused to worship anything to, or have anything to do with the beast system. Hallelujah. They'd rather die, come on, than worship the beast. Amen? Look in Revelation 14. Revelation 14. And in Revelation 14, he admonishes us about this mark of the beast. And again, I want to tell you, I believe the mark of the beast is spiritual, but I also believe it's the natural working out of it. But here in chapter 14, in verse 9, the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest there now who worship the beast, his image, and whosoever receives the mark of his name. Now look at verse 12. Here is something. Right in the midst of the tribulation. Here is the patience of the saints. And how many believe we need patience, and how does patience come? Through tribulation. Tribulation worketh patience, and we're to be patient in tribulation. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments or the word of God. How many know the Bible said those that love him will keep his commandments? So right in the midst of the beast system, there's a people who have patience, there's a people who love God, and they also have the faith of Jesus. Hallelujah. And then he said, I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed. There's seven blessings in Revelation. Do you know that? Seven scriptures. It talks about the blessings of God. And that word blessing means to be envied, happy, fortunate, prosperous. Write, blessed are the dead which die where? Where do they die at? If you're going to die, you better die in the Lord, hadn't you? Die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, their works do follow them. So in the midst of the mark of the beast, someone's going to die. The pressure's going to be so great on some that some will die. But he said, they must have patience. They must have the word of God to keep the commandments and the faith of Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, turn to 1 John 4. 1 John chapter 4. Praise God. I believe he's raising some overcomers up. 1 John 4. And what did he say here in verse? Well, let's read verses 1 through 6. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into what? The world. What does the false prophets bring to people? The worldly spirit. Amen? Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. What are we talking about in the flesh? He's talking about in your flesh. He's talking about in you. How many believe he's in us today? I'll show you in just a second. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you've heard that it should come, even now already it's in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Have what? Overcome them. The false prophets, those spirits, and that Antichrist spirit, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. They're of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. We're of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The greater one is in us today, brethren, to help us to overcome. Turn over to Daniel 7. Praise God. Daniel chapter 7. Daniel 7. I believe we're in a warfare today. Daniel 7, start with verse 21. So much I could go into. He said, I beheld the same horn, made war with who? The saints. So there's going to be some saints here in the tribulation. I mean, John saw a number coming out of tribulation that no man could number in Revelation 7. Amen? Here he said he beheld this war with the saints, and notice what he said. This horn prevailed against them. Now, John in Revelation 13 said that he overcome them. But Daniel gives us some hope here. He said he prevailed against them, but what's the next word?
Until.
There's a time element. There's a time element. Somebody's going to be overcome or prevailed against until. Until the Ancient of Days came. I mean, oh, Christ in us is the hope of glory. Until Christ rises up within a people. Hallelujah. Then he said, and judgment then was given to the saints. Those saints that he warred against, that he prevailed against. Hallelujah. When Christ comes in, they shall prevail. Amen. It said judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came the saints, those same saints, possess the kingdom. Hallelujah. But not without war. Now look at verse 25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, shall wear out the saints of the Most High. How many feel like you're worn out today? Come on, amen. The battles you've been in, the scars you've got. But don't give up. Amen. And that word wear out means to wear out the saints mentally. How many know the battle's here today? Amen. But we need the mind of Christ. To wear out the saints of the Most High. To think to change times and laws. We got a president that wants to change times and laws. Did you hear what I said? I respect the office of the president. But I do not respect evil. Amen. I don't care who it is. Hallelujah. We pray for him, yes. Pray God save him and deliver him. But I respect the office, but I don't respect the evil that we see coming out. Amen. Hallelujah. Notice what it says. Think to change times and laws that they should be given. The saints shall be given into his hand until time, times, and dividing of time. How long is that? 3.5 years. Okay. Hallelujah. Which means the church is not raptured out. Come on now. We're not sailing out here any day, any minute. That is a lie. It's not going to happen, brethren. It will not happen. I mean, it sounds good. Huh? We all get in trouble sometimes. We'd like to be raptured, wouldn't we? Hallelujah. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion. Now notice, the judgment shall sit, and they, the saints, shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it to the end. Hallelujah. Listen, God's people is going to be victors. How many believe it? All right, now turn over to Revelation 10. Hallelujah. Revelation 10. Look in verse 1. John said, I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven clothed with a cloud. How many know that's the glory of God? And a rainbow was up on his head. How many know John saw that in chapter 4 of Revelation? He saw that great rainbow, the throne there. Amen. And notice a rainbow upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun. What happened in Matthew 17 when Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration? His face shone, come on, like the sun. Amen. And then he talks about his overcomers, his sons, in Matthew 13, that they will also shine like the sun in the kingdom. How many want to have a transfiguration experience? Hallelujah. And then it says his feet were like pillars of fire. I mean, no, he's the head tonight. We're the feet. Satan shall be bruised shortly under, come on, our feet. I mean, believe we're the feet tonight. I said yesterday, our head came forth 2,000 years ago, and now he's waiting for the feet to rise up. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Moses saw the land. Joshua walked into the land. It's one thing to see these truths, but we've got to start walking into some truth. Amen? And so, this is the church. These pillars of fire, feet of pillars of fire. It speaks of the church walking through fire, walking through tribulation, walking through anything that comes at them. Praise God. How many know the church is going to walk on? Amen? And he had in his hand, what? Did he have a little book? and it was open. And he put his right foot on the sea, and he put his left foot on the earth. Next verse. And he cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roars. How many know he's a lion out of the tribe of Judah? And then it says, when he cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Hallelujah. But he put one foot where? What did he put it at? On the sea, the other one on the earth. Now turn to Revelation 13. I'm going to show you people that's overcoming this thing. Revelation 13, it says, I sit upon the sand of the sea, the sand of the sea. The sea, there's a natural sea, but the sea is also humanity. And then he saw this beast rise up out of humanity, out of the sea. How many know that beast is in humanity today? Come on now. Having what? Seven heads and ten horns and so forth. Where's he coming out of? What's he coming out of? The sea. Where'd he put that one foot? On the sea. On the beast. Now look at verse 11. Look at 13:11. And then the second beast, I beheld another beast, the second beast, coming up out of the earth. Where'd he put the other foot? On the earth. That's the false prophet. Somebody's going to overcome that beast and false prophet. Hallelujah. Call the foot company. The overcomers. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the carnal realm, the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb. He spake like a dragon. He's a counterfeit to the Holy Spirit, isn't he? Let me believe that. Now, look over at 2 Thessalonians again. We're talking about overcoming, brethren. Hallelujah. I want to overcome. I want to overcome the beast mind, but I also want to overcome those beast powers. Amen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. See, going the wrong way. All right. Now look here in verse 5. Paul said, remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and yet you don't hear much of this preached in the church. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed when? In his time. Now you notice that this word reveal is mentioned at least three times. Back in verse 8, reveal the son of perdition. Here he might reveal in his time. And then in verse 8 is where we're coming to. I'll read it in just a minute. But in verse 7, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And it's different in the Greek than that right there. I'll tell you that. Verse 8, and when then shall the wicked be what? Now look at that word wicked. The wicked is the transgressor, the lawless one, the rebellious one. Then shall the wicked be revealed, which means revelation, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. What comes out of the Lord's mouth? The word, the anointed word. The spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness, and that word brightness there is the word epiphania, with the brightness of his parousia, his coming.
Hallelujah.
I mean, that coming first is in us,
yes,
before it's in the air. So there's something got to be destroyed here as well as out there. Can you hear that?
Yes.
All right, so let's read it again. Now watch this. Then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. Now go to Isaiah 11, 10 and 11, actually. Hallelujah. Isaiah 10, about ready for lunch here. Hallelujah. Isaiah 10, verse 27. And it shall come to pass in that day. What day? That day. The day of the Lord. That his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of something. Of the anointing. Hallelujah. How many thank God the yokes are being broken today? And yet it's going to increase until we finally come to the full delivering power of God. Now, then look in chapter 11, look in verse 4. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with something. The rod or the authority of his mouth. There's that mouth again. And with the breath, here's the anointing, of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And that's the one in us. Now turn to one more scripture. Revelation 12. Man, I got so much I could go into here. Revelation 12. I don't know lately, this God has had me in chapter 12 so much this year. I'd love to teach this chapter. And we know so little about it. How many know God's going to bring forth more and more light to all of us? Amen? Hallelujah. But I want to just show you that when God begins to bring forth his overcomers in verse 5, the man-child, how many know that the woman goes into her testing time and war breaks out in heaven? Now, one's coming down, one's going up. Amen? I believe the overcomers are going to bring Satan down, the true overcomers around the world. Hallelujah. Because we're overcoming how? Come on, by the blood, the Lamb, the Word, our testimony. Amen. And we love not our lives unto the death. That's right. Now, look here in verse 7. Notice after the man-child's caught up, we see the apostasy in verse 4. We see the man-child's caught up, the woman going into her testing time. Then verse 7, there was war in heaven. Now, this is not up in the sky. It's in you. It's in you. How many believe that war is in us today? Amen. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought his angels and his angels. And prevailed not, neither was there place found any more in heaven. Where's the kingdom of heaven at now? It's in us, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And prevailed not, neither was there place found any more where? In heaven. Amen. So that war is in you. It's in me. And how many know somebody's going to have to learn how to war? Not just war, but also cast some devils and things out of us. Amen? Look in chapter 13. Now, look in chapter 13. Look in verse 5. Praise God. And it says here in verse 13, 5, and there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given him unto him to continue 42 months. And notice, he opened his mouth in blasphemy, first of all, against God. How many know that spirit hates God? That beast hates God. Amen? Number one. Number two, to blaspheme his name, his very nature. And what else did he blaspheme? His tabernacle. How many know that's you and me? Are we God's tabernacle? His temple? Sanctuary? Sure. He hates us. Well, how many know I hate him? How about you? And what else? And them that dwell in heaven. He hates those that are in the heavenlies. Amen? And yet it says in verse 7, it was given him to make war against the saints, and so forth. God's allowing this. And let me give you something else. Look down to verse 9. In the midst of this beast system, if any man have an ear to hear, let him hear. Amen? And then verse 10. Look at verse 10. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is something else. The patience and the faith of the saints. Hallelujah. How many want that beast dealt with in your life? Amen? And it's a daily thing. You ain't going to cast it all out today. And full deliverance isn't coming today. You couldn't stand it, and I couldn't stand it. But the final deliverance, I believe, our deliverance will be in Revelation 12. Amen. But how many know we can get it today, some today, and some tomorrow? Come on. Some the next day? Amen? God sends people our way to help us, sends us their way to help them. We all need it. Amen? Praise God. Anybody got a question? I don't know yet. We'll see. Yes. They fight for us. Uh-huh. Yeah. Great wrath. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Also, it's coming in the world, too. Yeah. Right. Right. Well, the thing is, the war, we know the war is going on now, right? And it's going to increase. But God's increasing in us to help us to kick the enemy out, right? And yet we know the devil's coming into the world because it says he'll bring great wrath out there as he comes. And it's when the earth is the carnal realm. Those that live in the carnal realm, I mean, they're going to get hit. They're going to get zapped. Amen? It's time to live in the spirit. Come on, amen? So we got to go higher in God. All right, somebody else. Somebody else. Okay, brother. Well, it says in Zechariah 14, his feet shall stand in that day on the Mount of Olives. Zechariah chapter 14. Yeah. Okay, sister. Okay, well, otherwise it's a... Otherwise, God, just like Jesus, has a corporate son. Revelation 21:7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. God says, I'll be his God. He shall be my son. Okay? That's the positive. And I believe the beast system is also a corporate body. Just like God has a new man, one new man, a body coming forth, I believe on the other side of the scale is also another man coming forth. Okay? Or we'd say it this way, the sons of God and the sons of the devil. Okay? That's Matthew 13 as well. Somebody else? Praise God. Well, let's stand. Let's take authority over this beast in us.
Come on. And any beast powers that we're up against today. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's all pray. Amen. Let's stretch real good and we'll pray. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a good hand first. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, I mean, no, we can't cast out the old man. He has to be crucified. But we can certainly cast out spirits, can we? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord God, we ask you to help us. Deliver us, Lord, from all the evil powers, the beastial powers, the demonic powers that's been set against us. Lord Jesus, help us to put on your mind. Help us to die out to our flesh. And help us to submit to deliverance. I come against the spirit of Antichrist. That which opposes Christ. That which opposes the anointing. Both the head and the body. And I command that spirit of Antichrist to come out of me. That which opposed Jesus Christ. That which would exalt itself against Jesus Christ. I command right now, everything, anything that's not like Christ, come out of me now in the name of Jesus. Now take a deep breath and let them go. Come on, let them go. Let them go. Come on out. Come out, that spirit of Antichrist. I come against you. Come out, Antichrist. Come out, false prophet. Come out, all Antichrist and false prophet spirits. Come out of the people. In the mighty name of Jesus, I charge you by the blood of Jesus and by the name of Jesus. Come out. All Antichrist, false prophet spirits, come out of the people. Loose them, loose them, loose them. All lying spirits. All lying spirits. Loose the people. Loose them, loose them. All that which opposes the word of God. All that opposes Christ, the anointed one, and the word of God. Come out of the people. Loose, loose. All rebelliousness and all disobedience. Come out. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, forgive us and wash us in your blood for all disobedience and rebellion at Norman preached on last night. Forgive us, Lord. Deliver us, Father God, from these spirits in Jesus' name. And any beast powers that's come in, Lord God, into our land, we command them to go in Jesus' name. All demonic powers and forces in Jesus' name. Spirits that come in through the warfare when we succumb and give in. Lord, we've backed up. We've turned from moving into truth and righteousness. Father, forgive us. Lord God, any error of our life, Lord, forgive us, Lord. I come against right now that spirit of apostasy. I come against the spirit of apostasy and rebellion right now. Come on, cough it out. Let it go. Let it go in Jesus' name. All apostasy and rebellion in Jesus' name. Turning back in Jesus' name. I break the power of that spirit over us now in Jesus' name. Father, help us in Jesus' name. Help us, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Now, Lord, we pray an increase of the anointing. Come forth in us, Father God. Send that anointing in us and upon us in this hour, Father, that we might do thy will. Lord, if there's any area in any part of us that's opposing you, Lord, rip it out. Take it out. Show us. Reveal it to us, Lord. Lord God. And increase, Lord. God, give us that mind of Christ that we might truly see, Lord, and understand the things of God. And we all said, amen and amen.
Turn on, turn on, turn on, turn on. Oh, fire of God.
God, burn on.
Till all my trust is burned away.
Prepare me for
the passing day.
Fire. Come on up here, Bill. Lita.
Turn on, burn on, burn on, burn on. Oh, fire of God, burn on. Till all my dross is burned away. Prepare me for the testing day. Oh, fire of God, burn on. Burn on, burn on. Burn on, burn on, oh fire of God, burn on, till all my dross is burned away. Prepare me for the testing day, oh fire of God, burn on, burn on, burn on, burn on, burn on, burn on. Oh,
prepare me for the testing day. Oh, fire of God, burn on. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.